belonging to God's people, Colossians chapter 3, verses 12 to 17. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we come before you as your church, and we pray for your help now, the help of your Holy Spirit, to open your word to us. We pray that you give us understanding and sow it into our hearts, both individually and as a community. Amen. Once you've started to trust in Jesus as your Saviour, how should you live your life? As a follower of Christ, what does God want you to do? And how should a Christian person live in the church community? Well, today, during this holiday season, we're going to look at this Bible reading, which Jeanette's just read for us. One passage of scripture can't answer all these questions completely, but this passage in Colossians 3 is full of rich treasure, and I want to draw a couple of those things out for you this morning. It'd help me if you have a copy of the Bible open so that we can look at some of the verses together, and it's on page 1184 in the church Bibles. Paul wrote this letter to a group of people who had started to trust and follow Jesus. They were living in a town called Colossae. How are we to live as Christian people? God wrote this through Paul to them 2,000 years ago, but it still speaks to us today. So let's listen carefully. And I've got three points for us to consider, which are printed on page 2 of today's notice sheet. Julian, there's a slight ringing on the microphone. I don't know if you can take that off. So firstly, people who trust in Jesus are members of one body. Please look with me at verse 15. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body, you were called to peace. Do you see those words, one body? These Colossian Christians were members together of one body, and it's the same for us today. When we trust Jesus and are forgiven by God for our sins, we become part of a community with other people who trust Jesus. And this really is a very important thing to understand. Getting hold of this should radically affect the way that you live your life. It shows us that being a follower of Jesus is not a solo activity. It's not like playing a video game or a board game on your own. The Christian life isn't just about you and God. No, the Christian life is more like being on a sports team or on a jungle exploration trip, where you're working and relying on other people. In a sports team, you're dependent on others, and they're dependent on you. And in the same way, following Jesus is a community activity. It's a team activity with other people involved. So if you want to know how to live as a follower of Jesus, then here is a golden rule to understand, a basic building block. People who trust in Jesus are members of one body. The main place to experience this body is in local gatherings of God's people, just like this one here gathered at this moment. If you're trusting in Christ, then don't think that the church is somehow separate from you. I know this is very easy to do, and many people do. Sometimes Christians don't really like church. They don't really like going to church. And I can empathize with this, particularly from earlier on in my Christian life. We can feel that the people in church are very different to us. They're different ages or different backgrounds, different nationalities. They're interested in different things. And some of you may feel like that. Well, if you do, remember that how you feel doesn't stop you being part of the body of Christ. Church isn't just for people who are different to you, a certain kind of people, those kind of people who go to church. No, it's for you if you trust Christ. You belong to Jesus' church. So I want to encourage everyone here who's trusting in Jesus as his or her Savior to give yourself to the church community. Give yourself to the body. Actively seek to belong and to participate. Get to know others. Invest your time, your money, your energy. Following Jesus is a team activity. The body of God's people is where you belong. Now, with this perspective as a foundation, how do we live as part of one body? And this is our focus for the remainder of this talk. And I want to consider two things that this Bible passage teaches. There's more we could look at. It's a very rich passage, but we're just going to look at two things. So my second heading is get dressed for God's people. Get dressed for God's people. Superheroes wear special clothes. But did you know that God wants people who trust in Jesus to wear special clothes as well? I wonder if you noticed what they are from the Bible reading. I'm not talking about wearing a mask or a cape. No, the clothes that God wants us to wear are the character virtues which are listed in verses 12 to 15. Let's have a look at those again. Verse 12. As God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves, there it is, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness and patience. Bear with each other and forgive whatever grievances you may have against one another. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. And over all these virtues, put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. Now, you might think that it's easy to be part of church because Jesus has paid the price for our sins. Church is, after all, about loving one another. Churches are to be loving communities, so surely it's easy to be part of church. Well, sometimes being part of church feels great. But one of the basic problems is that as you start to participate in church, in the community, your own character and personality get involved. So it may be that you're looking for the perfect church to be part of. If you are and you find it, I have to say to you, don't join. If you do, you'll spoil it. Let me explain. God the Father sees people who trust Jesus as without moral guilt. There's nothing for him to judge because his son Jesus has already paid the price. But that doesn't mean that we stop sinning. No Christian will be perfect in their thoughts and words and actions until God's kingdom comes, until heaven. And the closer you get to other people in the church, the more you get knitted into relationships, the more you rely on others, well, the more you're going to see their weaknesses and their faults. And it's the same the other way around for how people will see you. Paul was well aware of this. In fact, a basic emphasis in most of his letters in the Bible written to different churches in Philippi, Colossae, the Ephesians, to different churches, one of his basic emphases was to encourage the members of the one body to get along. That may be a surprise for some of you. Let's look at verse 15 again. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body, you were called to peace. Paul's not talking about simply having a peaceful spiritual vibe, which many people look for in meditation and yoga and that kind of thing. No, he's talking about how you get on with other Christians in the church. Paul knew that where there is real Christian community, there is conflict. So we have an instruction for each of us today. Let the peace of Christ rule in your heart. You were called to peace. Now, this is really important because it means we need to get rid of some pretend images of church. Colossians chapter 3 shows us that we should at times expect conflict and trouble within the church. I don't mean we should seek it. I don't mean we should encourage it. I don't mean we should want it. But rather, we shouldn't be surprised when it happens, because it's normal. The first time you hit some real conflict with another Christian, you can feel a little battered. You might easily think the best course of action is to simply withdraw and stop participating, move to the fringe. Perhaps you come to church now and again, but basically you retreat into a private faith. Many people do this, but this is not the way of Christ. Verse 15, you're a member of one body. Imagine that your hand decided to retreat from your arm so that it could lead a quiet life. Or imagine that your knee decided to take some time out from your shin because it was fed up. It doesn't work like that. We're one body. Now, it may be that you've never experienced this. Coming to church is lovely, and if that's the case, well, praise God. But I have to say, it may simply be that you've never actually got knitted in enough for problems to occur. Well, Paul gives us some fashion tips for belonging to God's people. These are the things that we're to clothe ourselves with. And I've primed a few people in the congregation. I'm going to read out, there are 10 virtues here in this Bible passage, which we're to clothe ourselves with. And 10 people have got different cards. When it's your word on your card, please stand up, give us a twirl, and then sit back down. These were instructions for the Colossians 2,000 years ago. Wonderfully, it's just the same for us today in the 21st century. So firstly, clothe yourselves with compassion. And clothe yourselves with kindness. And with humility. Clothe yourselves with gentleness. And with peace. Is peace in the house? The peace of Christ. I'm sorry, I read the wrong word out. Clothe yourselves. Have we done gentle? We've done. Clothe yourselves with patience. We are to bear with each other and to forgive one another. We've had peace, haven't we? Clothe yourselves with love. Do we have love? There's love over there. And finally, with thankfulness. Thank you. Let's give our models a big round of applause. So 10 virtues that we are to clothe ourselves with. So in the church that we're part of, we need to be patient with others when they're frustrating. We need to forgive when someone wrongs us. We need to be humble, not thinking that we're the best or the most important. We need to be gentle with each other, not aggressive. And most importantly, we need to be loving, which binds all the other ones together, interestingly, all the other virtues. Love somehow brings them all together. So we're to be loving towards each other, thinking of each other's needs and concerns. And we need to be thankful. God's given us so much in the world, in friends and family, in the church, in bringing us to himself through Jesus' death on the cross. God wants us to recognize that life itself is a gift and to be thankful. So get dressed in these virtues. Get dressed for the sake of God's people, for the body of Christ. And importantly, we should note that putting on these virtues is an active command. Clothe yourselves. We're to do it. We don't just wait for it to happen to us. We need to put it into action. I think that's a very important detail. God wants every Christian to put on these good characteristics so that we can live together in peace. People who trust in Jesus are members of one body, so get dressed for God's people. Well, on to my third and final heading for this morning. We're going to consider verse 16. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. The word of Christ in this verse refers to Jesus' teachings and the teachings about Jesus. We look to the New Testament for both of these, and also to the Old Testament, where we find prophecy about Jesus, and we find the story of God's big plan for the world, which finds its fulfillment in Jesus. The word of Christ is to be the heartbeat of God's people. And Paul says that it should dwell in us richly. It needs to be in us, both individually and collectively as a community. And if this is going to happen, we need to hear Jesus' words and to take them in and feed on them. We need to talk about them with each other, to discuss and give ourselves to working out how Jesus wants us to live. And we need to do that, of course. How does God want us to live as an individual person? But particularly in this Bible passage, how does he want us to live as a community? Christ's words need to be in our minds and our desires. They should be at the center of our church culture. So one sign of a healthy church is that Jesus' words are taught and are discussed when people meet together. This is written into our church's 11 decisions, decision number 8. Believing that the Bible is what God says to the church today, we'll make every effort to understand its message and to teach it to one another. So Colossians 3 verse 16 shows us why we listen to the Bible being read on Sunday mornings. Shows us the value of teaching sermons like what's going on just at this moment. And it shows us why we have different ministries to different categories of people in the church. We've got growth groups for adults, 421 for young people, and the All Saints Club for children and youth. Now, what's surprising in this verse is that Paul writes that one way for the word of Christ to dwell in us is through our singing to each other. Let's listen to verse 16 again. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom, and as you sing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with gratitude in your hearts to God. So every Sunday we sing together. I don't know if you've ever thought, why do we sing in church? I do remember a lady from Indonesia when in the Netherlands who really came to church for the very first time. And she said, why do you sing together? And we take it so for granted, don't we, that nobody ever asked that question, but, you know, an outsider did. Well, this verse shows us why we sing together. And the songs we sing are to have a teaching function. They're a way for the word of Christ to dwell in us. So simply put, church songs have more than one purpose. Church songs enable us to praise God and to worship him. So when we sing, we're singing to God. But secondly, they teach us the word of Christ. So as we sing, we are singing to one another around us in the room. We're singing vertically, if you like, and we're also singing horizontally. And thirdly, they admonish us, meaning they show us where we've gone wrong and correct things that are wrong in our beliefs and our actions. Well, I wonder if you understand our church singing in that way. And in fact, I'd be quite surprised if you do see our singing as all three of those things. Maybe you've got one or two of them. I think this is slightly alien to our understanding of what we're doing, but here's the word of God speaking to us. If you have a look with me, you'll see that Paul writes of three categories of songs in verse 16, psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. Now, I've sought quite hard to understand the difference between them. But in fact, it is quite hard to be precise about them being particularly different. And let's look at them briefly in turn. The word psalm translates the Greek word psalmos. It's just a straight transliteration. Now, when we hear that word, we obviously think of the 150 psalms in the Old Testament. And that's the way the Bible writer Luke uses the word psalmos in his writing. But when Paul uses it, he refers to a more general category of songs of praise. So it does seem that a psalm is a broad category of songs of praise and would encompass both the Old Testament psalms and a wider variety of songs. The word hymn translates the Greek word hymnos. Again, it's a direct transliteration from the Greek. Now, in Greek literature, this word applied to songs directed to pagan gods and heroes. So on this basis, the songs sung at football matches today would be equivalent secular hymns, where the players on the pitch are praised for that goal or that amazing pass or header. In the Bible, of course, the word hymn refers to songs of praise to God and to Christ. But again, it's a broad category worship song to God. And remember that Paul's point is that our hymns also teach and admonish. In the church, we tend to distinguish hymns from praise and worship songs. I don't know if you have that distinction in your mind. When we hear the word hymn, we tend to understand older Christian songs. When we think of a worship song or a praise song, we tend to think of a contemporary song written more recently. So when we use the word hymn at the moment, generally we're referring to songs in the English hymn tradition. Songs that have verses but no chorus. Songs that are metrical, meaning that they have a set number of syllables in the line. But please don't take these stylistic ideas into the Bible word that Paul's using at this moment. He isn't saying sing hymns, meaning older metrical songs. They weren't written 2,000 years ago when he wrote this Bible verse. When we talk about praise and worship songs, we tend to refer to songs written post-1960 in the rock and pop idiom or the kind of singer-songwriter style. Often songs that have verses and a chorus, often they have a middle eight, that extra bit, two-thirds of the way through the song. And we heard one of those in the first song today, Light of the World. That bit, I'll never know how much it cost to see my sin upon the cross. That's a middle eight. So these are stylistic issues, and we've separated the word hymn from the word worship song to distinguish them. But that doesn't apply in this Bible verse. The word hymnos refers to the lyrical content, not the form of the song. And the word hymnos means a song of praise and worship. So this means that when we distinguish these style issues, that's not what the Bible's talking about in this verse. All the worship songs that we sing in church should be hymns, whatever the style. Finally, Paul writes about spiritual songs. In Greek, odeis, pneumatikais. And again, this word songs is a broad category word. And in fact, the word spiritual, or you could translate it prompted by the Spirit, actually applies to all three words. So psalms prompted by the Spirit, hymns prompted by the Spirit, songs prompted by the Spirit. Spirit-prompted songs which enable the word of Christ to dwell in us richly. So we shouldn't separate Spirit-prompted songs from word of Christ songs. In this verse, they're the same thing. And we don't need to separate hymns from praise songs and worship songs. In this verse, they're the same thing. They should all be the same in regards to the lyrics, the word of Christ dwelling in us richly. But there's permission for a great variety of forms and styles of song in this verse. Well, coming back to Paul's basic command, I wonder, is the word of Christ dwelling in us richly? It's an important question. We come back to the basic building blocks. Taking time to read the Bible on our own. I wonder if this has gone cold for you. If it has, I encourage you to fan the flame again. And it's great to study the word together in a growth group. If you're not a member of a growth group, the beginning of September is a great time to join. We're going to be starting a new teaching series called Kingdom Come, which will go across Sunday preaching, growth groups, and the All Saints Club program. So great to join a growth group in preparation for that. We want to hear the Bible taught on Sundays, just like you are at the moment. Please pray for your growth group leader and pray for those of us who preach on Sundays, that God will enable us in this ministry. Pray for those who are taking a break from teaching in the youth and children's ministry. It's demanding going through the year. Let's pray for that team, that God will refresh them and enable them for the coming term. And this verse shows us the merits of our singing together. I hope you'll see our singing together as a church differently after thinking about the meaning of this verse. Yes, we're singing to God, totally important, and we're singing to one another to encourage and to minister to each other as we sing. So how can you help others to let the word of Christ dwell in them? Remember that you're part of the body and it isn't a solo activity. You can talk about what you've been learning to others. I find it really encouraging and sometimes challenging when people want to discuss a bit of scripture with me. Do come and talk to me. I'd love to hear from you. If you're trusting Jesus, then you are part of the body, and you can give as well as receive. You'll have your own insight into Jesus' words to share with others. So make the word of Christ a priority on your own and in our church community. Well, let me summarize. What have we covered today? People who trust in Jesus are members of one body. So how are we to live as part of this community? We get dressed for God's people, for the sake of others. We seek to clothe ourselves with these characteristics: compassion and kindness, humility and gentleness, patience, love and peace, and thankfulness. We seek to get along with others who are part of the body, to forgive, to bear with one another, and to love. And finally, we seek for the word of Christ to dwell in our community, to dwell in us richly, not superficially. We do this when we meet together, and particularly in our singing to one another. So let's pray together and ask for God's help with all of this. Let's have a moment of quiet for you to pray on your own, and then I'll lead us in a prayer. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you make people who trust in Jesus part of this new body, the body of Christ. And we ask, please help us to live in ways that please you. Help us to look out for others in our church. And help us to seek peace in living together. We pray, Father, that the word of Christ may dwell richly amongst us, and especially as we sing to one another. We thank you for our church, and we seek your blessing on our life together. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.